Hi everybody and welcome once again to Capricorn Radio. This is your faithful host James and I'm going to be talking to a returning guest today, Mr. Max Egan. Max is at the other end of Europe to myself. I'm in Northern Europe, he's in Southern Europe, and nice to have you back this part of the world, Max.
Thanks for having me on, brother. It's nice to be here again.
Yeah, in a way I'm going to have a rather ominous note to talk about today, but it's important. It's why I want you to talk to me today, Max. Hopefully we're going to have a TV interview in London in not too distant future when we get you over here. But, Max, it's absolutely frightening what's going on in Gaza, Israel at the moment. For me, Max, I know you're very close to people there, and you've been there. You've been there firsthand, and you're coming at this from a purely humanitarian point of view, Max. And I know you're very tuned into the whole thing. So if I'm going to talk to anybody about what's really happening in Israel or Gaza, I want to talk to you, Max, because I know you're pretty clued in. So maybe just tell little people how this whole thing kind of started, and what truth is in it, in the way it started.
The current conflict you're referring to,
sure.
The current conflict actually began over the kidnapping of three Israeli youths, whom Israel actually knew were dead the day they were kidnapped, and they also knew that they weren't kidnapped by Hamas. But they blamed it on Hamas publicly, and they spent 10 days whipping up a media storm, and then they went in and started bombing Gaza, which is a completely different area to where the youths were kidnapped.
Wow.
They did it simply because they blamed Hamas for the youth's kidnapping. See, recently there has been a unity government formed in Palestine. Fatah and Hamas have joined forces because they want to create some sort of stability and unity in the area. And that's the last thing Israel wants. So what they've said is, oh, straight away when Fatah and Hamas decided to put down all their differences and become one solid party for Palestine, Israel said, well, you can't join Hamas because Hamas is a terrorist organization. So within a few weeks or a few months, suddenly these youths are kidnapped and they've said, oh, it's because Fatah and Hamas joined. Now there's a Hamas influence in West Bank, so it's all Hamas's fault. So we're going to go and bomb Gaza Strip. And it's completely ridiculous. It's completely contrived, and it's just the excuse they've used to go in and carry out as much ethnic cleansing as possible in the Gaza Strip. And they're claiming it's a war against Hamas terrorists, but it's not. It's soldiers going in and executing civilians is what's going on.
I've heard people say they've provoked a war with no agenda, but I think they have the agenda, which was, as you say, ethnic cleansing and not like to protect themselves with defense, Max. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. They use self-defense as an excuse to go in and do what they're doing. It was most eloquently put, actually, by Claire Daly from the Irish Parliament, which she said that this war is the equivalent of the world's heavyweight champion taking on a newborn baby and calling it a fair fight. And that's what's going on. The motive was ethnic cleansing right from the beginning. There's no reason for them to go and do this. It's not going to bring about peace. It certainly isn't going to help Israel. It certainly isn't going to help Israel's reputation. And it certainly hasn't. Now, I was actually at the Boom Festival a week ago, and the people that I'd meet there, excuse me, some of the people I met, you'd ask them where they're from, and some of them would go, oh, Israel, and they'd look down, like they were very ashamed that they were from Israel.
Wow.
It's created this whole stigma, and it's worked very, very badly, and it's going to continue to work very, very badly for Israel.
Yeah.
It's created millions upon millions of Palestinian activists. People who never even knew about the situation in Gaza are now Palestinian activists because of this action, so it's backfiring on them. And the people of Gaza will never give up. I mean, you have to kill every last one of these people before they stop. They will never, ever back down.
Yeah.
Something people don't realize, most people think that Israel occupies Gaza Strip. The reality is that Gaza Strip is the only place in the world Israel doesn't occupy.
Yeah.
And they will never back down. They will never, ever
bend
their knees for Israel. So they got a fight on their hands. I'll have to kill every last one of them, and it's not going to happen. So we'll just see where it goes. I mean, I was very, very concerned when they first went in there. I thought this is going to be massive ethnic cleansing. There's going to be nobody left. But fortunately, there has been a huge public outcry, the same as there was with Syria.
Yeah.
You know, we've turned this around again the way we did in Syria.
Yeah.
Social media and public outcry, 150,000 people in the streets in London.
Yeah.
And we've got thousands of people marching all over the world, and they're not dropping the ball.
Mm.
It hasn't been this thing that's gone on for a couple of weeks and then they've just forgotten about it. No, they're building. The crowds are actually getting bigger.
Bigger. Yeah.
So, this is a huge thing. Well, even if the mainstream media isn't touching it, the people are turning the tables here. And I'm glad we are, because the people in Gaza depend on it.
Yeah.
And they won't let us down. They will never, ever back down.
Yeah.
So,
That's what I was doing. That's why I wanted to do the show today. I mean, I had been in London quite recently, as I spoke to you last time, Max. And, I'm looking outside the Israeli embassy in Kensington there. The Israeli embassy, there's so much pressure out there. And the crowds are getting bigger. Now, they're permanently now. They're there permanently. And, people are just walking past going, why would these people be protesting? They didn't get it. And it's only when they're starting to soak up some of the stuff, and really get into it, because they're not getting it from the media, Max. They're getting it from social media, and they're getting it from protests, but they're not getting it from mainstream media coverage, because it's biased, Max.
Oh, exactly. See, a lot of people just don't understand the issue. They really don't understand what's going on in Gaza Strip and what the relationship between Gaza and Israel is. But those who do are very, very staunch and very supportive of the Palestinian people. And because people want to know what this conflict is about and why all these people would sit there and protest in the street, they begin to look into the issue. And when they find out what it's really about, and they find out about the Nakba, and they find out who's really at fault here, it becomes a real humanitarian thing. And there's a need for people to stand up for it, because they realize that this could happen to anybody. It could happen to us.
Yeah.
And if we don't stand up for this, indeed it will happen to us. Because, ultimately it's about depopulation, different methods of depopulation, and controlling the world the way they want to, the whole, supremacist ideology.
Yeah.
And this is where it's going. So they've overstepped the mark a little bit. I mean, Benjamin Netanyahu is a psychopath. He is. And he's overstepped the mark. He's pushed a little bit too hard with this one. And he's woken a lot of people up. But what we've got to really pay attention to here is the fact that all of our governments have been supporting this.
Yeah.
They may be speaking out against it now, but that's only because we are.
Yeah.
We're still not seeing any coverage from the BBC, mainstream media, which indicates that these organizations are complicit in this war crime. And this is a war crime. Make no mistake, it's a war crime. And all of our governments, any government who didn't immediately speak out about this, and any media organization which hasn't immediately spoken out about this, is guilty and complicit in war crimes.
Yeah.
And the biased coverage from the mainstream media, the continually painting everybody in Gaza as terrorists, and the fact that Israel is a victim, is absolutely irresponsible, and it indicates that these organizations are complicit in war crimes. And we need to pay attention to that. We can't just stop the fighting in Gaza. We need to turn and address our governments because of their willingness to support this crime. This has taken things to a new level. It's shifted the goalposts.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if many people realize the significance of what's actually going on in Gaza. It's different to any other conflict because of the way it's been carried out and the complicity of our governments in this ethnic cleansing and this war crime.
Yeah. We've had a UK politician stand down recently, Max, because the UK hasn't condemned them. It hasn't condemned the Israeli attacks or what the handling of the whole situation. And that was significant, because the last time I was outside the Israeli embassy in London, I mean, there was free newspapers just being given out to everybody, people were like, wow, well, if a UK politician's standing down because the UK won't condemn it, well, there must be something to this, and that's where the momentum's starting to change now, Max.
We've got to realize that we've got to pursue this. The politicians that are stepping down are doing a wise thing, because the entire government should be held accountable for war crimes. Every government that supports this should be tried in the UN. There should be something like a Nuremberg trial for this. Israel needs to be tried for war crimes, and that's already been suggested by members of the UK Parliament, I believe.
Beautiful.
Benjamin Netanyahu and the Israeli government are subject to a Nuremberg-type trial and held accountable for war crimes. But we need to take it further, and we need to do that with all of our governments as well. Because if we don't, then this is coming to a town near you. We've got to really take things to the next level. I mean, I've been coming on the air here saying that people need to wake up and build community and do all these things for 7 years now, but it's now getting to the point, and indeed this is what I wanted to do with Full Circle Project. But the reason it's taken so long for me to launch Full Circle Project is because the game has changed so much in the last 12 months that I need to refocus it. And it's getting to the point now where we don't have time to build community, we need to turn and pay attention to what our politicians are doing. So if we can manage to get Israel and Benjamin Netanyahu held accountable for war crimes and create something like a Nuremberg trial, not that I have any faith in the United Nations, but it's what we've got at the moment.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, with enough public attention, perhaps we can put focus on the United Nations and teach it to behave itself.
Yeah, the very notion of the very idea might be enough to...
Exactly. Yeah. So it isn't that I'm putting faith in this, but we're running out of time, so we need to use this as an opportunity to not only hold the Israeli government accountable for war crimes, but also all of our governments. And we need to look at the media and what they've done on this issue as well, because they've been very, very biased reporting, and they're all very complicit in these crimes. So we need to see this as an opportunity, and we need to take the bull by the horns and really do this, because we are running out of time. We are. Really, really ramped things up in the last 12 months, you know.
For sure, Max. You know, I know Britain's been selling military equipment to Israel, and they have revoked licenses only because of pressure for a peace deal. You know, so these guys are linked with military equipment. The Western US, they're backing in with $3 billion a year, is it?
These guys are $7 million a day.
There's some inextricably linked these guys, Max.
Yeah, but I mean, these are token efforts as well. I mean, I saw a report on the news today. A news feed that I get that said England will suspend weapons sales to Israel if fighting continues. This is a deep, dire threat, isn't it? What about cutting off weapons to them right now and withdrawing all support from them? I mean, this is a token effort that the politicians are doing to appear like they're on the side of the people.
Yeah.
This conflict's been going on for 3 or 4 weeks now. We've got thousands upon thousands of people injured and dead.
Yeah.
Children, I mean, what is this "we will do this if" stuff? You know what I'm saying? This is a war crime, and all of our governments are supporting it, so we need to pay attention to this, because seriously, we are running out of time.
Let's focus on that aspect there, Max, because schools have been hit, hospitals have been hit, they've hit no military targets, they haven't even hit anything to do with Hamas. It's all been women and children, and it's like horrible what's on the internet, Max. I mean, it's... I watched some of it. It's absolutely mind-blowing that this is going on. I even watched a guy getting sniped, Max. He was walking around looking for his family. He literally was some guy looking for his family, and an Israeli sniper just took him out. Well, there was AIDS people. There were people with AIDS beside him, like, openly did it, like, you know. It's
Yeah. Well, that's what they're doing. I've got a friend in there, a news reporter, Noor Harazin, and her 5-year-old cousin was targeted by a sniper and shot in the head.
Wow.
You know, I mean, this is just unacceptable behavior. They killed a Norwegian aid worker who was rushing some children to safety. They shot him in the head. You know, they target children on the beach. They purposely target children with weapons from hell. I mean, dime ammunition and white phosphorus and flesh A bombs, weapons that are designed to cause maximum pain, do maximum damage, and preserve wounds that doctors have never seen. I mean, this is what we're seeing here. They're not just killing these people. This is brutal terrorism.
This is slaughter.
They do, and they dare to slander these people by labeling them as terrorists as they do it. That's the thing. You've really got to look at what's going on here. That's what I'm saying. All of our governments are supporting this. I mean, with what I've been trying to do in the last 12 months, I've been really trying to structure a template and a plan that I can use to take around the world to wake people up. But the game has changed so much that it's gotten to the point where we've just got to wake up. We've just got to turn and face this. I'm really hoping, I've got to be in England next week. I think I might possibly even be speaking at the rally.
Wow.
With 150,000 people there.
Beautiful.
Hopefully I'll be able to bring this message to them, that the need to pay attention to the fact that our governments are complicit in war crimes. Irrelevant of what they're saying now, they've allowed this to happen. And this is not how you fight a war, regardless of what your opinion of the Palestinian-Israel situation is. You don't wall in a population to an area 25 miles long, 4.5 miles wide, 1.8 million people, 900,000 children, and send a column of tanks in there. That's not how you fight a war, regardless of your political opinion or your religious persuasion or your ethnicity or anything. This is unacceptable. And we need to understand that the people in Palestine are so staunch and they are standing against this machine and this tyranny. And we owe it to these people to take this opportunity to step into our own power. We need to do this. We've got to change our perspective and change the way we look at things. Mm. And if we can do that, and if we can stand tall on this issue, it's a turning point. It's a turning point for us. That the whole system could change with us if we can do this, if we can get this groundswell and grow it. And it is growing. That's the beauty of it. Like I said, these crowds are not diminishing. They're growing every week. Mm-hmm. People are not dropping the ball on this one. Yeah. You know, so we owe it to these people, and we owe it to ourselves to use this opportunity to change things. Because if we don't, then the way of Palestine will be the way of the world. I've said it so many times. Mm-hmm. And that's what's happening. And they're doing it everywhere. It's all about depopulation. They're squeezing the people every way they can, raising the water rates, raising the rents, raising everything they can, just putting more and more control systems in. Mm-hmm. And here we've got this open ethnic cleansing. This is how you get rid of people. I said years ago, what you see in Palestine is a method of warehousing and surplusing human beings. And this is how you get rid of the surplus.
It's a microcosm of what's to come, Max.
It is. It is. It's all about depopulation, and it's about harvesting energy, and it's about soul destruction. I mean, we've got some serious black dark energies working here. Just when you look at the weaponry and the way they're abusing these people and killing these people in such horrible manner, there's a lot more going on here. I mean, I don't even like to use the word satanic, but there's something very dark going on here. You know, and I'm not into this whole God Satan thing, but I don't know what other word to use.
I hear you, Max. I hear you.
Perhaps like John Lash and the Archons. I mean, whatever this is, there's something very, very evil going on here. And again, it's an opportunity for us to bring something very, very light to the situation.
So, yeah, it's not just an oppression of a people. It's a sinister, vicious oppression using any means, dark or not, Max. That's the way I see it.
Oh, absolutely. Using the most brutal means possible. Mm. I mean, who'd even invent ammunition like this? Who'd come up with this stuff?
Sure.
It's outrageous.
You know, Max, I wanted to mention this because there are Orthodox Jews against the secular state of Israel. You know, there are people that are normal Israelis that don't like what's going on, and I want to mention that too.
Oh, yeah. Because there's thousands protesting in Tel Aviv. Most Orthodox Jews don't even approve of the state of Israel. They say it's a sin against God because, according to their doctrine, it's not supposed to exist. Yeah. You know, and when you look at it, 92% of the people who actually call themselves Jews are converts anyway. They're Khazars from Europe. And I know this is a disproven theory according to the Jewish sources, but no, it's not. It's true. And these people are converts anyway. They have no claim to the land. That's why they want it so badly, because they sort of lost their kingdom back in the 1,000 or so years ago when mm-hmm. they were chased out of the middle of Europe. They've been kind of wandering around as nomads ever since, you know. So they have no hereditary claim or no genetic claim to the land at all. They're all white-skinned Europeans. They come from the area around Kiev.
Yeah.
So,
Tell me about the date of the rally, Max, because this might some of you might want to make it to there.
I think it's the 23rd of August. But look, it's not confirmed. Someone just mentioned to me that I could probably speak at the rally or something. I'm not sure even who said it, but I've got a gig there, I think, on the 20th somewhere. Let me see, where am I on the 20th? I'm in Hamilton, Bristol.
Wow, you get around, Max.
I'm speaking in Hamilton House, Bristol, on the 20th, and I think there's somebody who is part of the rally and has said to me that I can probably speak there, so I don't know who it was, but I remember it being said, so I'm sure I'll be approached while I was there.
Wow, so beautiful. And we also have a Capricorn TV interview on the 22nd, all being well, Max. I'm still good for that.
No problem. Will you be at the rally?
Well, if I'm probably going to be in London on the 23rd as well. That wouldn't be... if I could do some footage for that, Max, on before I leave. I'm going to be flying to out of there probably the next day or day after that. So shouldn't be a problem, yeah.
Yeah, that would be good. You could even probably do it there if you
yeah,
wanted.
We could even do it there. That'd be interesting.
But I've got a bunch of dates in England. I'll run through them for you. I've got Hamilton House, Bristol, on August 20th at 7:30 p.m. I've got the Shape Freedom Conference in the Red Brick Building, Glastonbury, on August 31st. That's with a bunch of people. That's with, I think, Brian Gerrish and Ian Crane and Ken O'Keefe.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe a couple of other people. I'm not sure. I've got the Guildhall St. Ives in Cornwall on September 4th.
Beautiful.
I've got the Zoo Studios in Lewis on September 6th, and then I've got the Entheon Science Conference in Berlin on September 13th, and the Open Mind Conference in Copenhagen on September 20th.
Yeah.
And that concludes the Europe leg of these speaking dates. Wow. Then I've got to go back to Australia and speak in Australia, and then I've got some other stuff. I've got a lot on, actually. I think Ken was actually going to gift me a trip to Hawaii to see him, which would be really good. And then from there, I will be going. I've got a bunch of stuff to do, but I'm going to end up in December. I should be, hopefully, part of a mission to go to Nepal and build a schoolroom and hospital for a village in Nepal. There's a very, very poor, neglected village of mainly children in Nepal.
Wow.
We're trying to build a hospital and a schoolroom for, so that would be really good. But again, at the forefront of all of this is Gaza. I've got the Gaza Shield mission as well.
Mm-hmm.
I've got over 1,000 people signed up for that, and that is kind of there in the foreground. If there's an opening to get into Gaza in amongst any of this stuff,
mm-hmm.
I'll go straight into Gaza.
I got you.
And I want to coordinate the crew that I've got that I can take in there to kind of join up with the international solidarity movement. So you don't want to go in there and have too many cooks because you just ruin things. There'll be some major group, which will probably be the International Solidarity Movement, which will be organizing a humanitarian mission. And I'll be kind of arriving there with willing workers and saying, here we are, put us to work. Where do you want us? What do we do?
Wow.
You know, because that way it's all coordinated and it's going to be a lot better, you know. But there's also a flotilla mission that's being spoken about. That may be leaving from Turkey soon, so I'm going to get onto that to see if maybe we can be part of that as well.
Right.
See, if I can get there, I can always fly back and do the conferences and do the talks and all that sort of stuff. That's not a problem.
I got you.
But Gaza's definitely in the foreground of all of this while all this other stuff going on.
What can people do to show support, apart from obviously the rally on the 23rd? That's going to be interesting. I hope to make it for that if I can. I'm going to be in on the 22nd there anyway, so that shouldn't be a problem. But what could people do? I think you said send letters to the Egyptian government.
Well, yeah, contact the Egyptian embassy is a big focus at the moment. Like, it's good protesting outside Israeli embassies and doing what we're doing, but also we need to get people that are ringing and sending letters and emails to the Egyptian embassy in their country demanding that they open a Rafah crossing, Rafah border, for humanitarian aid. Okay, because even if we can get some mission together, the only way we're going to get in there is either by boat or through Rafah. But if they open a Rafah border, then refugees can get out. And we need this. I mean, they've got the border closed, which is one of the big problems.
Yeah.
See, people don't understand. Gaza Strip has got a huge 50-foot wall around the entire country. Except for the Rafah side, the wall's only about maybe 15 feet, 10 or 15 feet on the Rafah side. But on the Israeli side, this is like 30 or 50 feet high, this wall. You can't get over this place. It's like shooting fish in a barrel. These people can't escape. Israel's saying, we're telling the people to leave. Where are they going to go? You've got 1.8 million people in an area of 25 miles long, 4.5 miles wide, with a wall around them. Where do they go? There's nowhere to go. And they're telling people to go to safe areas, and then they're bombing the areas. I had a young friend. They told him to go out into the desert and be safe out in the desert, and then they dropped gas bombs in the whole area and killed them all. The UN school that they said, we targeted the UN school because there was a Hamas rocket in there. The school had 3,000 refugees sheltering in it because they'd received the coordinates from Israel 17 times to go to that school to be safe. So they went to the school, and when it was full, Israel hit it with rockets.
Wow, it's disgusting.
It's disgusting, mate. So there's no safe area. There's nowhere for people to go. So if activists can put a lot of focus with do what they're doing, protest outside the Israeli embassy, but also flood the Egyptian embassy with emails, phone calls, letters. Just have the phone ringing all day for these people until they open Rafah border.
Yeah.
They got to open Rafah border because they're as complicit in this crime as Israel is. You know,
this has always been a socio-economic persecution as well, Max. I know we talked about this on the last show, but, you know, even when there is no fighting or bloody conflict, I mean, these guys are still being persecuted in a socio-economic stance, Max.
Well, yeah, they're under siege. They've been under blockade since 2007. See, back in 2006, they did the unforgivable. They voted in what was perceived to be a free and open and very, very well and intentionally monitored election by the West. We're monitoring. We're making sure all this is fair. But, oh, no, they voted the wrong way. They voted for a party that we didn't want them to vote for, despite the pressure that we put on them to vote for the other guys. And so that was unforgivable. And so Israel put them under a blockade. And they've been under siege since 2007, denied the most basic necessities of life. They're allowed one truckload of supplies to arrive every day. This is one semi-trailer. This is like water bottles. Because the only water you can get in Gaza to drink must come from bottled water, because there is no water allowed to flow into Gaza Strip. All the showers, all the water tanks on the roof are full of seawater that's pumped there from the ocean. So when you have a shower, it's in salt water.
Wow.
It's very difficult to get clean. But one truckload of supplies per day is all they're allowed. And when you look at the situation in Gaza Strip, it's the modern equivalent of the Warsaw Ghetto. In Germany, apparently, the Germans fenced off an area and the Jewish quarter, and they just left them there, cut them off from all supplies, and just left them there to deteriorate and deteriorate. And when they finally had had too much and they started fighting back and complaining, the Germans labelled them as terrorists and exterminated them all. That was the Warsaw Ghetto. That's the stories that we hear out of World War II. This is the exact equivalent of what they've got in Gaza Strip. See, people, when they think of the war between Israel and Gaza, they think it's two countries. It's not. It's one country. Israel and Palestine is the same country. Mm-hmm. It was divided in 1946, and since that time, Israel, with its settlement program, because we're God's chosen and the land is ours and it's all Israel and there was never a Palestine anyway, that's what they say, they've just gradually created settlements and they've stolen the rest of Palestine. And Gaza Strip and the little settlements that are left in the West Bank is the last little piece of this country that's left. Mm-hmm. And once it's gone, the people are completely dispossessed. They've got nowhere to go. The Israeli justification for this is that they say, well, there never really was a Palestine, and there aren't any Palestinian people. These are just random Arabs that were inhabiting this land, which was called Palestine, but nobody lived here. Yeah, it's a kind of a bizarre thing they've got going on, but it's the one country, and it's not a war against another country. It's ethnic cleansing of a civilian population that's basically in a walled-in refugee camp. That's where it is. And this is what's been going on since the beginning. I mean, for 66 years, it's been a program of slow ethnic cleansing and just pushing the Palestinian people further and further out until there's none of them left in the country. And that's what they've done.
Yeah. Wow. That's the shocking thing, Mike. You know, it gets reported as everything but what it is, and it's despicable. And I'm just glad we raised a little awareness today, Max, and I'm glad to see you over this side of the world. I'm going to wrap it up with that because I wanted to just get that short message out and get some of your speaking dates out, Max, and you know, just to get a bit of an awareness of what's actually happening, because I know you articulate the situation very well, Max, but I really appreciate your time today, Max, and we'll hope to see you probably within a week, I would say, or maybe 10 days, Max, all being well.
Yeah, that would be great. I'll be in the UK on Thursday, which I think is tomorrow. I think I'm leaving tomorrow. Wow. Yeah, so good stuff.
Wow. Well,
enjoy your probably on the weekend.
Yeah, for sure. Well, enjoy your time in Spain, Max. Soak up the last bit of sun before you come over to the rainy climate. And
Yeah, I will, for sure. It's beautiful here. This is actually the really, really nice. It's the best time off I've ever had. I get rare that I get time off, and I've just been able to come back here and kick back at a friend's place for a couple of days, and it's been a wonderful healing for me, so it's been good.
Sure. Will you be seeing Ken O'Keefe over this part of the world? No doubt.
I'm actually, he's picking me up at the airport. I'm going to stay with Ken for a couple of days, and I've got a gig in Bristol, then I'll be back at his place for a week, and I've got a bunch of stuff to do.
Yeah. So, say hi to Ken for me. I'd love to get him for a TV show as well if he's interested. He did say he was back when he came back from Hawaii, but he's been busy, no doubt. But
well, I might be able to organise it for you. When you see me, I might be able to get him to tag along.
Yeah, that would be great, Mike. That would be really, really good. Like, that'd be a double interview. That could be awesome. That could be really awesome. But look, I look forward to seeing you soon, Max. Safe journey, safe travels, and again, a lot of respect for what you do, Max. I really thank you for your time tonight.
Thanks for having me on, James.
Take care, brother.
Bye-bye.